and welcome to the 105th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And I'm John.
We are here to talk North Texas athletics. It has been an interesting offseason, but not necessarily football, but basketball has just been a whirlwind.
Well, it's been the biggest offseason I can remember, really, whenever you've got two coaching changes, all that's been going on with Tony Mitchell in terms of the is he going to the NBA or is he not going to the NBA? Tony Benford replaces Johnny Jones, who's been a fixture at North Texas. I mean, it's been the most exciting offseason. There have been highs and lows, mostly highs, but that I can ever recall. John, would you agree?
It's definitely been very active. Highs and lows is probably a good way to say it. There's been a lot of really, really great and exciting developments and a lot of things where, you're kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop when some things are happening. You know, we've brought in a lot of really great guys, and we've seen Forrest Robinson leave, which is a kind of a disappointment. We had really high hopes for him, I think. A lot of big-time basketball fans really thought, here's a 6'10" guy who can hit three-pointers, and, who knows what the future might hold for him. But he decided there were better places to be, and we lost a guy who turned us into a basketball program and brought in a guy who could turn us into a next level basketball program. So it's definitely been a very active offseason, a lot more than we usually get this time of year.
All right, we'll get into football in a minute. A lot of people want to talk football, but let's kind of grow on that. Johnny left a position here where he could go a little bit over 500 and he was kind of the hero, bring in a few golden classes. Harry and I were talking about this today. He's into a different position now where he's got to perform at a high level.
He's probably got about a year before, the results have got to start popping up. The leash is going to be a lot shorter for him. Here, when you've had as many years as it was before we had Johnny, before you were even respectable. I mean, we had some good years. Every time we talk about how fond we were of Johnny, a lot of the guys from the late 80s talk about, the Newman years and how great we were then. And
Bill Blakely.
Yeah, even going back even further than that. Wow. But, Blakely, nobody can take anything away from Blakely's teams. There's no denying how great those guys were. But, a lot of people really defend the Newman era, too. They say, you have to look at the schedule we were playing. You have to look at who we had, the talent that we had. So, a lot of people point to those years. But even if you're pointing to those as exceptional years, as strong years, as a good basketball program, what was it, 88? That's when we made the tournament? I mean, you're still looking at 15 years had gone by, practically, by the time Johnny was here. Maybe we call it a dozen. And those were hard years with Trilly. Johnny came in here to a place where we did not have a whole heck of a lot of successes in any sport at that point. I don't mean that disrespectfully, but, you guys remember what it was like in 98 and 99, right before he was here with Trilly and right before Dickie started and shortly after Dickie started. He walked into a place where we did not have a whole lot to, demand excellence immediately and did not have the foundation really to be building from. We had a nice building. That was about it, I'd have to say. He had some nice talent, but they hadn't seen any success together at this place. And he built a program, over the course of 10 years. And I will forever be grateful for what he did here.
Oh, absolutely.
But, he had the luxury of doing things the way he wanted to, and he's probably going to have to move a lot faster at LSU. I think you're already seeing some of it when he was hired. Fans didn't think he was a big enough deal. They didn't think he was, why are we only getting this guy? Why couldn't we get somebody bigger? Why didn't we get, I can't remember the names. They saw Frank Martin get hired away by South Carolina and they wanted their own. Why don't we get Brad Stevens? The guys everybody throws out anytime Power Pro Conference team loses a coach. Why don't we get Brad Stevens or Shaka Smart or those guys? Who's Johnny Jones? Oh, yeah, he's the guy tied to that unfortunate scandal. But, we'll see where he winds up. But I think the leash will be a lot shorter for him, unfortunately, than it was here. And I wish nothing but success for that guy because he did so much for us. I'd like to see him. Anytime he's not playing against us, I hope his teams do nothing but win because he's a good dude.
Whether you're a critic of Johnny or not, you can't take away the fact that Johnny brought Tony Mitchell to this program. And the impact, I can tell you every single day, go in the search engines, type in Tony Mitchell and North Texas. And the chances are 90% of the time that you're going to see an article about Tony's, going to fall in this place in the draft or Tony's part of a new mid-major power at North Texas. So I look at even the harshest critic would have to grant the fact that Johnny left us a great place to build a program from.
He gave us success. And you can, if you want to be critical, if you want to say, you can point all day. It wasn't this, it wasn't that. I think it's kind of funny how the goalposts keep moving and, the metrics keep changing. We never have a quality win until we have one, and then a couple months later we decide it's not a quality win anymore. 20-win seasons don't mean anything until we don't have one. It's not good enough making the finals and coming up a minute short. I mean, you know, anything you want to say about the guy to criticize it, I can understand it. And, you know, if you always want to be expecting more and more and more and more, that's how you get better and better as a program. But I think what you saw with the guy is he consistently built from year to year. You know, the upward trend was unmistakable from 1999-2000 to 2012. Tick, 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 tick. Every class was a better foundation. You go from bringing in transfers to bringing in, you know, exceptional JUCO transfers to bringing in freshman talent, you know, bringing in head kick. I mean, before Tony Mitchell, it was Roderick Flemings, and I remember a lot of guys were really excited about Rod Flemings, and rightfully so. He wound up eventually, three schools later, being a really significant performer at Hawaii, and here all he did was screw us over and cost us a scholarship for a year, I think, and, you know, he kept raising the bar, and if people weren't happy with how far the bar went up every time, you know, that's an assessment, and you can't say, you know, you can't say you were too unreasonable. But I will say, it wasn't really going up a whole heck of a lot before that. It was moving in the other direction, and I didn't realize you were going to do so much about Johnny, but I'll love the guy forever. That's all I have to say. And anybody who's critical of him, you know, you're welcome to your opinion, and you know, we can disagree. The end of the long and the short of it is, he's gone now. For better or for worse, and we got a new guy in, and the future looks pretty good.
It does look really good, and we just got this. The big news in the past few days is the transfer.
TJ Taylor,
and you know that's a huge win for us. And you know, it just seems like things can't get any better. Knock on for Micah here, but that's, you know, things just keep looking great. So you know, how does he fit in?
Well, it's to be determined. I've kind of, you know, we've been breaking down the roster the last couple of days. Most of my day, instead of actually doing anything at work, is split between talking about incoming prospects and potential recruits with NTO3 or roster evaluations and trying to figure out how minutes are going to work with Censored by Lori. So that's what I do instead of actually working. So we've been talking about, you know, how did all these pieces fit together? And, you know, the thrilling thing about it is we've got guys who, you know, are 7, 8, 9, 10 guys on this roster. They'll start or play 20-plus minutes for any other team in our conference. So
I'm going to go ahead and expand on that, because okay. Green Miner just in the chat room said, basketball question, where does our roster stand compared to Western Kentucky before and after TJ?
That's an excellent question. I think Western Kentucky is worse than they were last year. You look at everywhere except for coaching, and that's a huge, huge thing, obviously, but Mr. Hilltop, or Derek Orden, the Pied Piper who brought all those guys in, is gone. And Vinny Zallo, I want to say, they lost somebody else who was major. Eric, help me out here. Zallo, thank you very much. So Zallo and Gordon are gone, and Gordon was the crown jewel of that recruiting class. I think he went Big East. And all the big transfers they thought they were bringing in, the really big-time guys, didn't come through. They got a couple of guys who are going to sit a year and be pretty good, but that'll be after we're gone. Yes,
but
thank you.
Still got the Nigerian that just killed us in the final. You know, I mean, people, they say the guy never had as good a game as he did against North Texas, but he could do that again.
A good one against us, didn't he? God, what a kick in the balls the last 2 years. I mean, I hope people don't think just because I'm as fond of Johnny as I was that I'm delighted to go and see us lose an NCAA tournament that's in our grasp with 5 seconds to play or with 60 seconds to play. Believe me, as pissed off as you may thought you were, I was probably more miserable as it was happening in the immediate aftermath. So anyway, point being, how do we match up with Western's roster? I think Western got worse from a talent standpoint, and we got better, significantly better. And even more important than that, they have new pieces that are going to be essential, whereas we are working around a core that has played together. Chris, Jordan, Alzi, Tony, all these guys are back. Walton, back. You know, we have a team. If all we did was play guys who were returning, I think we have the most talent in the belt, especially with Laurent Dendy being gone at Middle Tennessee. So how do we match up against Western? The only guy that terrifies me there now is Ray Harper. But that's the main guy you need to worry about.
Absolutely.
Head coach Ray Harper.
He's a great coach. Great coach.
All right. So also I hear that the women picked up a pretty big recruit. You know anything about that?
They sure did.
That's what you know about.
That's about all I know. I don't mean any disrespect to women's basketball, but there are only so many hours in the day. And as I said, it's beyond obsessive how much I think I dedicate my free time to men's basketball. It would be very dishonest of me to pretend like I have any real depth or familiarity with what's going on.
Her name is Candace Adams. She was a former UT commit, and evidently it's a pretty big pickup for the ladies program, which, you know, you got to think the way things change there, coaching change. You got to hope that they're playing off a little bit of the success from the men's and just getting the whole the basketball prestige of the school just kicked up a notch.
Well, Mike Peterson's a good hire. I think that's
he's
a guy,
hilarious.
He's hilarious. He's got a great track record. He builds programs. So I happen to think we're in good hands. I'm not a women's basketball expert at all.
NTO3 said that ESPN ranked her as the top 100 players in the nation.
That's good.
And just because she's not for Karen doesn't mean that she's not a good player. I mean, you know, Karen's out there recruiting probably some of the top 10 players in the country right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
So,
all right. So, and I didn't mean to derail us with the women's basketball talk, but, you know, talk about some of the other things that you thought so far. I mean, the stuff that's been happening in the offseason. Obviously, we're getting guys that had to sit out a few games at the end we could have used.
Let's go back to TJ Taylor for a second, because one thing I want to throw out there, when we had about, I want to say, a 24-hour heads up about Tony Mitchell coming on board here, where we were trying to figure out there were significant hints dropped that somebody big, program-changing big, huge recruit, was going to transfer mid-semester, the year that Tony Mitchell wound up being the guy. And the first name, you know, we frantically get on the text message tree and trying to figure out who the heck is going, who could this be, because we didn't have any idea who it was going to be. Our first guess for this program-changing, huge commit that could be coming on board was T.J. Taylor, because that was when he had sat out the first semester at Oklahoma because of his concussion situation, and he was transferring, theoretically, to be closer to home.
He's from Denison, so it's North Texas makes some sense from that. Okay.
So, I mean, Oklahoma's not too far from there, but Denton's even closer. So when we first thought, you know, when we were dreaming big, trying to figure out who our Tony Mitchell was going to be, we thought it was T.J. Taylor. And it wound up being even bitter than we'd possibly dreamed. But T.J. Taylor is a tremendous, tremendous talent. I looked this up so I'd have some stats with me. See, I made some notes.
Prepared.
The year ESPN and, had, you know, T.J. Taylor and Tony were in the same class. Class 2010 guys. Tony was, 24th? Yeah, they had him 24th. They had T.J. Taylor 78th. Ahead of guys like
in the nation, that's
in the nation,
top 78 player in the 94 nation,
94 grade, which means NBA potential early departure quality. They had T.J. Taylor at ESPN, and Scout had him ranked ahead of who do I have here? Starjell Love, the guy at Baylor, and Tim Hardaway Jr. At Michigan. Rivals had him a little lower. He was 104 there, but you know that's in the range of Aaron Kraft, the guy, if you watched the tournament last year, one of the Ohio State guards. So this guy, in and of himself, is huge, huge, huge talent, top 100 talent. I mean, remember how excited we were when we landed Jordan Williams? He was lower ranked at the time that we signed him than T.J. Taylor was.
So from a talent, a pure ratings talent, what he did in high school standpoint, this guy is the second most talented guy on the team in terms of the rankings.
Well, probably. I don't remember exactly where Roger Franklin was. Somebody probably looked this up and let me know. But Franklin, I want to say, was somewhere between 90 and 110 in his class. He was a 4-star on Rivals. I don't remember where ESPN had him. But one of the things that Taylor has that Roger Franklin doesn't have going for him is he fits. His size fits with his position. You know, Franklin is really more kind of an inside guy. He plays better as a post, and he does not have a three-point shot that you can dependably rely on, whereas Taylor is a 6'3 guard, a combo guard. He can play with the ball. He can play off the ball. So the package together is a better fit than I would say Roger Franklin's talent level was compared to the body he had to put it in.
And I put a video, a YouTube that I found of him in high school, and I'm not a basketball expert by any means, but sweet left-handed Jay. I mean, three-point shot, and can get in the hole with the dunks. I mean, so he's got that inside-outside game that you'd love to have.
And he answers the biggest problem we had last year. And it's not just a fan perspective. I remember when we went out to LA to watch the tournament at Loyola Marymount, and we got to bump into some of the players and coaches in the airport on the way home. And Coach Leonard was telling him, "Man, it was great. We really enjoyed watching you guys. Can't wait to see what we do this year." First words out of his mouth: "Well, we're not going to do anything unless we learn how to shoot the ball better."
There you go.
And then looks to his left at Jordan Williams and looks to his right at Chris Jones, saying, "We got to shoot the ball better. You got to shoot the ball better." And then he says something about playing defense. But I mean, the outside shooting was terrible. We had a really, really rough time with outside shooting last year. It was inconsistent. We did not have – I mean, Walton was streaky, very good, but streaky, and we did not have what we'd had in years past where you can put Tristan and Dominique and Josh at the three-point line and just let them fire away all night, and two out of three of them are going
to
be hot.
I'd love to see a stat comparison of when Brandon Walton was hot versus wins. I bet if his percentage was high, 9 times out of 10, we'd win that ball game.
Well, I don't have the I don't have the research time I used to, but I may look into that one for you just to let you know. But no, as far as bringing in TJ Taylor, I'm very excited because we still have there were still holes on this roster. We have amazing talent, top to bottom, amazing talent.
What was the scholarship picture? Because I thought we were full up.
That is the other shoe waiting to drop. We have 13 guys on scholarship. You are allowed to have 13 guys on scholarship. And the word from the orbit around TJ Taylor was walk-on was not in the cards. Academic grants, that sort of thing, you know, Pell Grant, whatever. He needed to be on scholarship was what we had been hearing for weeks, that he was getting a ride somewhere. We have 13 guys who are on scholarship. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not going to lie. Well, I'm a little concerned.
They could probably move one to the football team. We could use somebody.
Yeah, we got a lot of open spots over there. About 25.
We got some open spots in football. Let's move one of them over there.
So, yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen there.
But you got to grab this guy. I mean, with the team.
Get rid
okay,
of somebody.
Let's be honest. And we were talking about this earlier. Tony Mitchell, he's going to the NBA next year. I mean,
if he doesn't, something's wrong. You have, if you're a North Texas fan, the best thing that can happen to us is for Tony Mitchell to be here for a year and a half and get drafted in the lottery, because that proves anybody who comes here, if you have the talent, if you have the ability, if you are able to compete and succeed at that level, the NBA will find you, and this is a reasonable place for you to come, and you don't have to worry about fighting for minutes like some of these guys that go to the BCS schools do. You don't have to worry about getting on the bad side of your coach. You don't have to worry about twisting an ankle in October practice and not being able to crack the lineup when November comes. You can walk in here, if you have the talent, start or play significant minutes immediately and make your way to the NBA early
And I'm moving into football a little bit here, but understand with
your
the BCS going away, the NFL, the NBA, how many players a program has put into the big game is what is getting the talent to come. Because it used to be, we're a BCS school. You're going to be in a BCS bowl guaranteed every year. Well, that's going away in 2014. Thank God. You know, that's a good thing for North Texas. But in terms of what you're saying, I totally agree. And that's why I understand we got the scholarship issue. But I also understand when you got a talent like this guy that you can add to this team, that Tony Mitchell's don't come around, you know, for North Texas every other year.
We talked about this one of the other times I was on. This guy is the biggest recruit Missouri ever had. And they've been an Elite Eight team, I want to say twice. They've had exceptional basketball success, and he's the biggest deal they ever landed. Missouri. He's the biggest recruit Missouri ever had. We'll talk a lot about this guy could be the next this, could be the next that. I cannot fathom we will ever see another Tony Mitchell in my lifetime, and maybe the one after that.
But maybe in Evans.
Maybe
lifetime.
Yes. You know, I live real hard. I have very bad habits. So
I'm living healthy.
So
drinking,
you know,
Red Bull.
That's right.
It's not a criticism. I mean, we have great players on this team. People are talking about Chris could potentially have the combination you need to play professional basketball at the highest level. We have guys who've gone on to make their living playing basketball around the world. We've had great guys in the past, but this is a guy who, especially a guy with size.
Yeah, we were very fortunate he decided to stick around.
We're very fortunate. Very, very fortunate.
All right, let me get a couple of things in here. People are talking about Midnight Madness. You got to think they got to do something.
We want to have it happen, but I don't think it's official. I don't think that there's been any. It's just been something started up on the board.
It's something we all got really excited about when somebody mentioned what hasn't happened.
I mean, we've done it before. I mean, you got to think that RV has got to be, you know.
Let's call him up.
Yeah,
I'm
him?
Just kidding.
When do we do it? I want to say, was it like Trilly maybe?
It's midnight. Oh, sorry.
I mean, how long ago was midnight? I know what
I
you're
know.
Thinking about because
I
remember
it was Trilly.
It was
Trilly.
After a football game.
Yeah, we changed the colors of the seats or something like that.
Yeah, but anyway, it's been a while.
Yeah, it was. It has been a while. Somebody else asked, and you know, this is something that we brought up on the last basketball practice facility. Johnny was big on that. We know that the you know, the wheels were turning on getting that going. Have we heard anything on that lately?
Oh, I mean, there was an update. I mean, to my understanding, it's in process.
Seems like
I mean,
it's already getting, okay.
A committee's been formed. There's money.
And we knew about
the
committee.
Vito can touch on it more because he did an article on it, but it's in process.
Okay.
And the issue that it sounded like to me was I was originally hearing that it was going to be on the Super Pit side of the campus. Now it's sounding like they're going to try to put it on the Eagle Point, you know, side over at Liberty Christian. So that's the biggest development.
Oh, really?
In
yeah, because I mean, originally it was going to be over there by the.
They talked about the Banson Center. They said they talked originally. At one point, yeah. They were saying the Banson Center, so you just have to walk right across the street.
Yeah. So
look both ways.
Interesting thought. Then somebody else mentioned Trilly. Oh, they're answering Trilly. It was Trilly the last time we had anything like that. Basketball facility. Oh, sorry, that's it.
Well, wrap the basketball stuff. You got to wrap it up with this. And I know this causes heartache on the board every time I throw it out there. This is the best team on paper we've ever had at this university in the modern era. I mean, I can't really go back way back when, and I know we had some good teams with all due respect. It's a shot. It's our chance to do something special that's never been done here before. And as big a football fan, and I am very excited about 2 days, and I can't wait. Evan and I were having lunch today. What were we talking about, Evan? We were talking about basketball.
That's right. I thought you were talking about the hamburger.
Well, the hamburger was good, too.
Yeah, but we were talking about basketball because it's so exciting. So let's go ahead and downshift because of the construction on 635 and talk football.
Football. Freshman report, is it Monday? I mean, Media Day is Monday. So the team is together basically when Media Day starts. You know, it's 105 degrees outside, so it is that time of the year. I'm excited. We're planning on being at Media Day. In terms of developments, whenever this is always a scary time, and it's also an exciting time. You've got, you know, 25 or so new recruits coming into the program, and which ones aren't going to make it? Which ones are going to be academic? Everything we're hearing right now is everyone has made their academics, which that's a major
plus.
But
we did lose some players.
We did lose a player to injury, a wide receiver from Roderick, is it Lancaster? Somebody on the –
Sounds right to me.
Yeah.
The only guy I really remember us losing came back.
Are you talking –
Stokovich.
Stokovich. And now Stokovich, unfortunately, though, is going to sit out this season. So he will not be able to play, but he is still with the team, which is a huge thing. But that's a big loss for this season.
Right, because we expected a lot out of him. He had a great ending. So.
He had a great season last year. He's a kind of guy on special teams and defense you really need. So that's a big loss. But other than that, right now, those are the, you know, if you could walk away from the deal right now with the losses we have, that wouldn't be too bad. I just know whenever you're dealing with a lot of freshmen from coming from high school, there can be academic issues, there can be homesick issues. So you just got to hope everybody sticks. But it's exciting. I think, you know, LSU has kind of got me. You know, I've been to LSU. I've done that. I'm. You know, you want to see them do well, but it's almost like you wish you could fast forward past
Man,
that game.
I tell you, we've been to a lot of road trips, and I've been to a lot of great, you know, Alabama, some great places. Just not a fan of LSU.
No.
By the time, you know, they've been drinking in front of the science building since Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it's Saturday. It's game time, and everybody's throwing beer cans at you. Tiger bait, you go to Alabama or somebody and they treat you as your little brother. Yeah, they know they're going to beat up on you, but hey, have some food. And you always get treated well. At LSU, it was just miserable. I flew in there for the game last time. It was like flying into a truck stop. I hate to say it, but I don't think I'm going to be there.
And I don't want to discourage people who have not gone. You know, I know UNT 90 is going and there's other guys that are going. If you haven't gone, go experience it. But if you've already been there, done that, you know, No knock against the program, but I hope for the day when we can be like the basketball program appears to be and go into a game like LSU with an inkling of hope to feel like you could actually pull something off. I don't think we're there yet. I like that we're heading in that direction, but I don't think that we're there at this point.
Now, you know, you have to kind of – and I know people don't like to talk about the money aspect of it, but if I'm not mistaken, LSU is right up there as our major athletics donors over the last 10 or 15 years.
Yeah,
I don't know how many people have given as much money as them.
It's a necessary evil, if that's what you want to call it. I, you know, the game's going to be on TV. I'm going to make the Houston game. There's some other options there, but it's just not one of them. You know, the other thing is this year, I'm wondering how ticket sales are going, because you've got several things colliding here, where you've got a schedule who we've discussed this with RV, and he does thrilling. Not agree with it, but it's not a thrilling schedule, and it is what it is. But you've also got the calm before the storm. We're going to Conference USA the following year. Everybody's excited about that. The draw for this, we're not bringing in Indiana. We're not bringing in a Houston. We don't have anybody that people are excited about. First home games against Texas Southern, which, you know, maybe in a few years, it won't matter. But right now, that's just not a big draw for people. So, it is what it is. And a lot of people just aren't as excited to make sure that they get their seats exactly where they want them. So I got to think that they probably aren't having as easy a time selling tickets, because you got that hangover from the first year at Apogee.
My distaste for LSU that game is the same distaste that I feel for Texas Southern. I have no excitement about sodomizing Texas Southern in our opening game. You know what I mean? I mean, we're going to kill them. And we know it's a game we know we're going to win. And I know it's nice to get a win to open up the season and everything else, and that's great. But I would like us to play someone a little bit higher caliber than Texas Southern to open up the season. It is a tough schedule. It is what it is. We've talked to RV about it 100,000 times. His response, as you know, is, we're always going to play the LSUs of the world. That's an opportunity game.
I don't have a problem
with LSU. My only problem is we are not at a program point yet in football to where you can realistically say you can play those games as a chance to win.
Well, and that's right. And I don't have a problem playing a game. Next year we play at Georgia. I mean, every year we've got one of those. LSU just doesn't excite me. But, you look at we play at Kansas State. It's not exactly the best road trip there.
Trip I've made twice, and I have no desire to go.
Exactly.
I'm going for basketball, though.
We'll be
there for the NIT.
but that's the problem. And plus, when you look at the schedule we could potentially have the first year in Conference USA, there's so many great road trips that I want to attend on that. I'm just not excited. So let's talk about the games here. We open up at LSU, 6 p.m. on ESPNU. It's on TV.
Watching parties are already coming up, so they're if you're not going to make the trip, get together with some fans and watch a game.
Yeah, there's always one in Allen at Rudy's, and I'm sure
there'll be others as we get
closer.
Yeah,
so we'll get all that straightened out when we get closer. Then we come back to Texas Southern at Denton, 6 p.m. game. It looks like it's going to be on Mean Green Premium for those that can't make it.
Mm-hmm.
That one's not getting picked up by ESPNU. That one's not national.
Yeah. So it'll be on it'll be on Mean Green Premium if they pay the light bill. And then we play at Kansas State on September 15th. Then we have Troy Family Weekend at home. That's
a good
Troy.
Game.
That's a good game.
That's a good game.
That's a good game. And then we play at Florida Atlantic in Boca Raton, which I'm not going to that game, but I wouldn't mind because the Miami trip was so great.
Awesome trip.
Even without the hookers. Houston, at Houston, I'm definitely going to Houston. That's an easy game.
Hey,
this is great road trip.
Harry's pick for the game, the road trip of the season.
Oh, it's a new segment, Harry's
Houston
pick.
Is going to be I know everybody I'm talking to is going to Houston. We ought to own a bar down there or do something.
It's a 6 p.m. game, too. So you don't even have to get up early and drive down there. If you want to just, drive in the afternoon, get down there, we'll probably have a meet in the afternoon somewhere.
And let's not kid ourselves. Houston's going to be favored. Even though they lost the stud quarterback, they got another guy coming in. They're going to be favored. But that's a game you got a chance in. That's a game that if the ball bounces your way and things are going well, you could actually win that game. So, that's the one I've got circled in terms of the road games this year.
I'm just going. My in-laws are there. So
well, that's we'll be there. I got relatives there too.
It's one of those where it's nice where you can say, "Hey, sweetheart, why don't we go see your family?"
And this is exactly what we talked about on the Conference USA with UTSA and those other schools. This is easy. People have family close places, and they're easy road trips. So
absolutely.
I'm excited about Houston. Then we play Lala in Denton on the Tuesday night 8 p.m. game. 8 p.m. That's kind of late for a game on a Tuesday night, but I think that plays well for where Denton's located, crossing the Bridge of Death there in Louisville and the huge bottleneck.
I mean, the traffic savings that you get. Now, the downside is the people that have to go to work the next day are going to look at it and say, do I want to be at a football game until midnight? But honestly,
the students should show up.
The students should show up to this game. And if they don't, that'll be a big disappointment. But if you can get a good student turnout and have a good time, the reality is we all went to school there. you don't have any excuse on a Tuesday night. You just don't. I mean, that's a night that you're in Denton.
There's no weddings. No,
you're not going back home for the weekend or whatever else. So the key is we got to get the alumni. I think the students are going to turn out to that. I think the challenge is going to be getting the alumni to take a half day off, get up there, tailgate, and do their deal.
Yeah, you know, I think it also depends on how we're doing before that. If we do good with Troy, good showing at Kansas State, beat up on Texas Southern, you know, the students will come out, locals will come out, the weather's nice, you know, that we had a crappy weather situation last year, and you know, I don't care what people say. I know some people are like, well, you're a fan, you show up. You know what? No, we don't have those fans yet.
It's one thing when you have 200,000 fans who are going to try and get to your game. It's another thing when you're talking about students who are wild and free. But when you're talking about, you know, domesticated animals, like the married folks who comprise most of our alumni fan base,
Tuesday night's tough.
Working 8 to 9, 8 to 6, whatever. It's hard. It's a hard game to get to.
That's true. Exciting. It's on ESPN2. You know, we can hopefully they'll have a good show in there. We'll pay people to show up. Saturday, October 27th, Middle Tennessee, the Mutts at Murfreesboro. Still a little jaded about that whole we didn't make it to Conference USA. So,
and they still could. You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, I think they're a good program. I wouldn't have a problem with them being. I know we have a lot of protectionism now that we're in Conference USA. Yeah. If you're in the belt, we don't want to have anything to do with you.
It's elitism because we can do that. We've been in all of 2 months now. And you know, Texas State.
We've turned the page.
That's right. We're so much better than that. We've improved. Yeah. Then we play, we have two home games in a row, November 3rd against Arkansas State. That is homecoming against Arkansas State.
I'm really excited about that because I have a family connection with Gus Malzahn, so I'm actually going to get to meet him before the game and shake his hand and stuff. And I'm a big Gus, I'll be honest with you, I'm a big Gus Malzahn fan. I think he's going to be a great coach there. They're going to do well.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
All right, so then Saturday, November 10th, we play against South Alabama in Denton. Anybody excited on that one?
That's a game we should win.
You know, games are at 4 o'clock.
Are you sure about that?
Well, that's what it says.
I think it was just announced.
Well, I'm on the official athletics.
The November home games are at 4 o'clock, right? Both of them?
Yeah. Yes. Well, I guess that makes sense in November. It's probably maybe.
Well, I mean, halftime, it's dark.
Yeah, and it's colder in November, too, you know, later.
I hope it's not rainy. Cool is fine. Rainy's fine. Then we play at Louisiana Monroe on Saturday.
Worst road trip in the belt?
That is probably the worst road trip.
But can't you stop in Shreveport or do something to spice it up?
That is the only redeeming value, is to stop in Shreveport.
If the best thing you can say about a destination is at least you can stop in Shreveport, that says about all you need to know. There's no reason to go there.
Yeah,
then we close out on the famous November 24th Thanksgiving weekend game against Western Kentucky. Isn't that where Thanksgiving weekend?
I don't know.
I think it is, 24th.
Guys, help us out here.
Yeah, somebody look up Thanksgiving. We didn't do all our research for this.
Okay, well, this
Christmas I got memorized. Thanksgiving's harder.
Okay, everybody is in on the Monroe is the worst trip in the Sun Belt. Oh, it's hunting season in Louisiana.
Ooh, there you go.
Thor, oh, good, so they all have guns.
Yeah, got to disagree.
Thor says as long as there's beer.
He loves the Monroe trip. Wow. Yes, that is Thanksgiving weekend. Oh, look.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, the new guy, Storm Chaser, he says, damn commercial. He's not used to the commercials.
Sorry about that.
Welcome to the Ustream.
Yeah. I wonder how that whole, we'll get that NCAA waivers working for him. All right.
Should we call Vito?
Yeah, let's call Vito and see what he's got. We haven't talked to him in a while. See what the little dude's up to.
Brett's up to these days.
He's not in the chat room. All right, guys. As usual, please be cordial because Brett might show up in the room. Yes, he can.
He goes on a bit from time to time.
Something goes on a bit, but you know what? There's nobody that knows the program better than him, and we've talked about it. He's always up there. He's always around. And so, yeah. Oh, here they go.
It begins.
Gotta refill the brew. Oh, Thor. Yeah. All right, so we're calling him right quick. We're just going to keep on recording.
So we're still live?
We are still live. Right. And Harry forgets to dial 9 every freaking time. 105, he's still. I just put the link, and he's asking for the link again.
There's no backtracking anymore.
We're at Harry's office.
Yes.
This is Harry's office.
Yes, welcome to the Myers Group.
We are working on a better background because we have this wonderful back poster here, gomeangreen.com, that Tony put together, Meatball Tony.
Hey, what's up?
And we're holding it up with duct tape right now, so we're not really doing it justice.
I was told we were going to get a donation of gaffer's tape, but it hasn't happened yet. So I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, we're working on that.
Someone who knows who I'm disappointed.
Okay, we got it. We got to love the duct tape there. All right, hold on a second, Brett. Let me get. Hold on a second. Brett, are you there? That's never a good sign.
We're going to make this work.
Brett, are you there? Brett? Brett?
I hear rustling.
When I finally end up hearing Brett's voice, I always have this just feeling of just excitement, and it's just like this relief.
I know.
When I finally, you know, Brett's like in a cave. Brett, are you there? Brett.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh,
hey!
Yes! Yeah!
Come to the light.
Brett, we're always worried that, you know, with this $30 setup we have here.
Radio Shack special.
Yeah, we actually had to go and get a new cable at Radio Shack before this started today. We're always worried that you're not going to be able to hear us. So can everybody hear Brett on the chat room here?
Talk, Brett.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. Hopefully you guys can hear me.
Count to 10, Brett.
Actually, I hear you loud and clear.
Yeah,
everybody's
actually pretty good.
Okay, well, we're pretty good there. All right, Brett, so there's plenty to talk about. One thing that we tried to touch on earlier and completely crashed and burned on is this woman's basketball pickup today. What can you tell us about her?
I don't know. She's just another good Metroplex, player that's kind of come onto the scene. I haven't had much time to go and chase it, and I don't really chase women's basketball recruiting a whole lot.
You're going to pay for that, Brett. You're going to pay.
Oh, Brett.
You disgust me.
Oh,
Vito.
I know, but yeah, I just haven't had a chance to go and try to run her down or find out a lot about her. Women's basketball is a little bit harder to get a whole lot of information on, just because there's not a lot of information out there. There's not a lot of people that cover it. There's the best source for it is ESPN has Hoop Girls, and they evaluate women's basketball players, and that's pretty much it. And I just haven't had an opportunity to really look into her much or see if I could get a hold of her.
Well, okay, then we'll lift you off the hook here because we all didn't know. We kind of knew a little bit about her, but we're still trying to figure it out.
Evan is bound and determined to punish us for not knowing about this.
He can't hear us. He can't hear us.
Can you hear us now, Brett?
Oh, there you are again. I got you again.
Awesome.
All right, good.
All right, so, yeah, well, we're not just going to submarine you with that one, but here, tell us your thoughts on the new basketball.
TJ Taylor. Talk about TJ Taylor.
I think it's a terrific gift for North Texas. I mean, you're kind of cruising into the season, and you think your roster's pretty set, and then all of a sudden, an opportunity to sign a kid that was arguably one of the top 150 players in the country in his class. He just happens to be from right up the road, a guy that signed with, Oklahoma out of high school and Marquette not too long ago, just falls into your lap. I mean, that's just an amazing little – an amazing deal for North Texas. I mean, to add him, and plus the thing about him, too, is he fits just such an immediate need when I look at it. Just the fact that he's another wing player. He's a two-guard. The only other guy he really had for that spot was Alzi, theoretically, moving back over from the point at the end of last year. I just think he's a terrific fit. And, he makes North Texas pretty darn complete.
So you get TJ Taylor, he's immediately eligible. I mean, there've been a lot of debates on the board about minutes and who's going to play where. Give us the Brett Vito starting lineup for North Texas this basketball season.
My guess is that you're going to see Chris Jones, you're going to see Alzi Williams, you're going to see Jordan at the three, Tony at the four, and then, of course, your big guy transfer at the five. That would be my guess. I just think Alzi's too good a defender. He's been there too long. He knows the ropes. He's a veteran guy. But I think this team's going to be awfully, awfully deep, and a lot of people are going to play. And one thing I was going to mention that I think people are really discounting is I think the guy they get, the point guard that they got late.
Hardwick?
Yeah. PJ?
Yeah.
That kid can play. I've been to practice multiple times, talked to people, I've talked to the coaches, talked to the guys, that are there at practice every day, and they think that kid is really, really good. I think he's got to be one of the top five, six, seven players in that rotation this year. I think he's a tremendous player.
The question
and
you got to
play a lot,
I mean, we're trying to piece this all together, just like you are. But you know, if we're trying to figure out where Hardwick's minutes could come from, and you know, there are only so many guard slots, especially when you look at the guys we have who can play either swing or kind of the hybrid 3-4, then shoot from the outside. It's just, you know, it's the greatest problem I think you can have on a team that's not a BCS conference school. But I mean, where are all these minutes going to come from? How are we going to keep these guys happy?
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I think you're going to see, you know, a lot deeper rotation, a lot of guys play a lot of minutes, but I can't imagine how Hardwick doesn't play at least 20, 25 minutes a game. I just don't see it. I think Chris Jones is going to play a lot. I think Hardwick's going to play a lot. I think Alzi's going to see a lot of time at the two. I think, you know, TJ's going to see a lot of time at the two, and then you're looking at Jordan, Williams, and Patton at the – at the three. You'll see Tony at the four a ton. He'll play some at the five. You know, you've got your big JUCO transfer at the five. I think there's a lot of options, a lot of people that you can play in a lot of different spots, and I think there'll be some people that'll be kind of towards the end of the bench. I mean, I thought Nico would be a pretty big impact player, but he ended up not playing a whole lot. I don't think the kid from Argyle will play a lot early. I think he's more of a project developmental type kid that's going to take some time to come along. And, you know, I think it'll kind of develop from there.
Brett, what's so the question everybody's asking in the board, they said to ask you, was the scholarship situation with Taylor in here. How are they fitting that in?
I asked, and I did blog about this, I think it was last night. They are one over the limit. I mean, they have 14 guys for 13 spots. And, you know, this isn't uncommon in college basketball, and it sure as heck isn't uncommon in North Texas. They've gone down this road before, and it's, you know, I got this the same type of answer I always did when North Texas has been over the past, you know, oh, well, we think those things will work themselves out by the beginning of the season. And whether that means somebody's goes on to an academic scholarship, or you know, somebody decides to leave the team, and maybe there's a discussion, hey man, you're really not going to play, maybe it'd be better if you transferred out, go to a Division II school, something along those lines. I don't know if that's the direction it goes, but they definitely have one more guy than they have scholarships for.
It's not unheard of to go academic. I remember the one guy that comes to mind immediately, Paul Shirley, who played at Iowa State under Tim Floyd back when they were a perennial tournament team under him. He was scholarship worthy, but he was able to do it on the academic thing, and it freed up another ship for them to bring in other guys, and he wound up having a professional career both in the NBA and overseas. So it's not. I know when it came up with Overlander in the past, some people saw it as kind of like an insult. How can you not give him his athletic scholarship? But, you know, there's a history of if you can get the academic ship, it makes the team better. What are we giggling at?
We have some sad problems.
Am I having some trouble
dreaming this up, or did Colin Mangrum not pay his way for a year, or was he on an academic scholarship for a year? I know that topic was broached there for a while.
No,
I thought he was at SMU. He went on academic.
Yeah, he went to SMU. He was never not on athletic scholarship here that I'm aware of. We talked about when we were trying to figure out where we were going to find room for incoming recruits, what would have been his graduate year. There was some discussion as to whether or not he might go on to an academic shift because he was capable of it with his grades.
And then he left.
And then he went somewhere else.
But it had at least been discussed, or the topic had been broached, or I think I might have discussed it with the staff at one point, and they had said, hey, well, this might be an option. We could put Colin on an academic scholarship because he's got terrific grades, and, you know, he could probably cover a little bit of his own expenses and things like that. So I don't know. I mean, it'll work out. There was one year that they were over, and that year one of their guards transferred out and went to a Division II school. He went to play for Fred Reich over at Angelo State. I mean, you know, I don't know. I would anticipate that either somebody will go on academic scholarship or somebody will leave. And those are really the only two options, you know, and I'm sure they'll work it out.
Yeah. Brett, shifting gears on you now, the football natives on the chat room are getting restless. Talk a little football. We got two-a-days right around the corner, media day on Monday. Any thoughts as we head into the season and And any predictions?
What's the view from outside the fence?
It's about the same as it always is. The fence will be, in practice, will be closed this fall anyway. That's more of a spring thing you can watch practice.
You don't feel like it's a fence as much as like a jail, you know? It feels like you're in jail.
Yeah, you're like on the outside looking in, peeking over the fence. I mean, yeah. I mean, practice is practice. I mean, it doesn't really matter where you're watching it from as long as you're not blind to bad, but... You know, practice will be closed in the fall again. That was in the media guide that came out. I can't imagine that they're going to shift gears on that. But I don't know. I think the story of the off season in general was just the losses that North Texas took on defense that were unforeseen. I think that was a huge story of the off season because, you know, you go into the off season and you're thinking, okay, we got Stokovic. You're counting Stokovic as a returning starter. You're thinking, okay, well, you know, the entire secondary is pretty much wiped out, but at least you got Freddie Warner back, who is their, you know, their top corner. I mean, they felt really good about him. And all of a sudden, he blows out his knee. They decide to redshirt Stokovic because of some off-the-field stuff that he needs to work through, you know, which, you know, it's fine and all. But then all of a sudden, you're looking at, I mean, there's like, what, five returning starters on defense? I know I wrote this, but five returning starters on defense, and only three of them are going to be available at the beginning of the season.
That doesn't sound good.
All three of them are down linemen. I mean, that would scare me right there if I'm looking at it. And you got a new coordinator and a new safeties coach.
Well, and you know, DT has not stayed healthy for an entire season. That keeps coming up on the board again and again. You know, the drop off.
He didn't get hurt that first year against Arkansas State.
Yeah, the 5 minute season that we burned.
Like, what, 4 or 5 plays.
Yeah,
it
was a minute 58 of glory.
It was
a
healthy season.
He stayed upright.
It was a healthy.
Let's not take it away from the guy. Thank you, Coach Dodge.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you, sir. Can I have another? But yeah, I mean, that to me, that's a big concern too, because, you know, let's be honest, the drop off after Thompson is significant, and you know,
who's our number two? Is it McNulty or the JUCO?
Well, Osmond? Coming out,
one of the big stories after spring was that, you know, they put Brent Osborne on the number two line as the backup quarterback, and I thought Brent had a good spring and everything, but I mean, I guess it does have to be a concern. I mean, you run a dual threat quarterback type offense, and granted, Derek doesn't pull the ball down and run a lot. It's not like what, you know, Chico ran at South Florida. But, I mean, they do run the quarterback a little bit, and they do expose him a little bit there. And Derek's gotten knocked out a couple seasons in a row. And I don't know. I mean, I kind of wonder if that's not overplayed a little bit. I mean, Derek seems like a pretty sturdy kid to me. It's not like he's built like some of the other quarterbacks North Texas has had over the last couple of years that were pretty – that didn't look very, you know, thick or very stout. I mean, Derek looks like a pretty stocky, pretty stout, pretty thick kid to me.
Well, the offensive line should be markedly improved over the past several years. So, I mean,
that's our one thing we can hang our hat on this year is our offensive line. It looks pretty deep and pretty good. So that's.
I mean, are we still at the situation where our best receiver is a walk-on?
Well, I think you gotta think that Breland Chancellor is going to be your best guy again.
Okay. How does this happen? How do we recruit 47 wide receivers in 3 years and we're stuck with a bunch of walk-ons? Not to take anything away from their talent level, but for crying out loud, all we had, 10 receivers a year for 4 years, and they're all gone.
Yeah, these are the frustrations.
Where did they go?
A bunch of busts. I mean, that's all you can say.
I remember that. I took a bunch of grief for that. I wrote a story 1 year that North Texas, I think it was the first year the Dodge was there, they signed 6 receivers that year, and that was the same year Troy signed Jarrell Jernigan, and like 2 years later, Jarrell Jernigan had more catches, yards, and touchdowns than all 6 of the guys North Texas signed, like 3 years later.
Wow.
I think they were tied for arrests, though, so at least we had that working for us.
You know, I mean, I think the thing you've got to hope is, you know, they did redshirt the big tall kid, the kid that was originally committed to Tulsa. You know, and he looks the part, and I'm going to space his name.
Is it Chaz Sampson?
Chaz Sampson.
I mean, Chaz looks the part. I mean, he's a big tall kid. He can run. They're really, you know, they keep saying all the right things about him. Oh, you know, he's got all the tools and things like that. And they keep saying, well, he better have all the tools. I mean, because the other thing, people are, when you think about it, I mean, they lost another receiver for the entire year before he even got to campus.
Hey.
You know, they lost Lancaster, Roderick Lancaster, for the entire season when he tore up his knee just playing catch in the backyard. So, I mean, you've got a couple of receivers coming in. But, I mean, that was the one that everybody was kind of – one of the ones people pointed to was saying, oh, okay, well, this guy will be the one that, you know, maybe can come in and play right away. Well, you know, that's not
anymore
now.
Well, Brett, I mean, Breland Chancellor, obviously he was quite a shining star last year to have coming back. I mean, you know, Lance Dunbar was the big story last year, but, you know, Breland Chancellor had a great year. How is he going to be the return guy, or, you know, how is his role going to change? I mean, you've got a weapon there. How do you use him?
I mean, I don't think you can take him out of there. I mean, he's such a threat back there. I mean, it's the eternal debate. Do you play your wider? Do you play your key guys on special teams? You know, and I think you've got to. If you got a chance to put somebody back there that can make some plays for you, I think you do it. I mean, I think their main concern right here is, I mean, you've got some slot guys that can play. I mean, Breland can play. You know, there's some other guys there. Derek Teagarden looked real good in the spring, and they figured that he'll contribute. But, I mean, as far as, like, outside guys, I mean, you've got – you know, you've still got – Bynes is more of a tight end type, you know, kind of a hybrid guy. So I think he's more of a slot guy. But you've got Ivan Delgado at 6'2 on the outside. I mean, you have a whole lot of options on the outside, especially after losing Lancaster for the year. I mean, you got Leonard Pleasant and Nick Schraps, who, you know, maybe he comes in and contributes. But you don't have a lot of those taller outside receivers that you can look to.
Let's talk about the running game. How do you see that shaping up, 1-2?
Boy, I mean, that's another huge question. I mean, you ask about the running game, you ask about the running backs, you say, okay, well, you ask the question of the guys, the staff, and you say, you know, what are you guys going to do? Because you lost Dunbar, who's arguably the best running back in school history, at least from a numbers standpoint, over the course of a career. And you not only lost him, you lost James Hamilton. So, I mean, you really don't have anybody coming back. I mean, Bird had, what was it, like 80 yards on this season, but 25 of them came on one carry.
See, and that,
the proven guys aren't there, but the talent is. I mean, there's a depth that's there as far as a wealth of options that, you know, I got to figure, I'm not as concerned about running back as I am about wide receiver, because out of all those guys, all of whom seem very capable, somebody's probably going to step up, right? Right? Give us some hope here, Vito.
You would think so. I mean, you've got a lot. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, you got a lot of options there. I mean, Jeremy Brown has looked good at times. Jimerson's looked good at times. You brought in a couple of good-looking freshmen. You moved Kanakis Ashington over there a little bit. I mean, I think
nice
you're really
pronunciation.
Kind of Bird played a little bit. I think you're dependent on Bird, Jimerson, and Brown, and then you hope that one of those freshmen shows up, like so many freshmen have showed up at North Texas before, and just really shines. But I mean, it's still, bottom line is, you don't have a proven guy, and you're taking somebody where a spot where you had two proven guys that were really, really good, and you're putting in a bunch of guys that are unproven. And I have a yeah, my whole deal with looking at teams is how many guys are you asking to do something that they've never done before? Because I don't think you can just assume that on the basis of what's on paper and what guys look like coming out of high school or junior college, they're just going to step in and do something that they've never done before. I think that you're really putting yourself on a limb.
Brett, we talked about this in previous years, looking at the media guide. You know, you can go back to 98-99. And since then, we have had a string of running backs that have always been tops in the belt. Or, you know,
I went
one
back and looked at the history, and there's really, I mean, the only other time you can really look at it, there was one other year in there when you really didn't have, and I remember writing this, I just don't remember what year it was, that you didn't really have anybody coming back. Because if you look at it, you know, once you got Patrick Cobbs, and then you had the junior college kid that came in with him at the same time, it's in the Hall of Fame.
Kevin Galbraith.
Yes.
Galbraith. Yeah, Galbraith and Cobbs came in at the same time, and Galbraith had really two good years, but Cobbs was there. And Cobbs comes in, and he takes over. And then, you know, he's there the whole time, and then Jamario steps right in when Patrick is there, and you go through that whole time with Jamario. And then when Jamario is getting to the end of his career, you had Micah Mosley. And Micah Mosley rushed for like 461 yards when he did the year before, you know, he took over. And I think that before he became the next guy. And then you had Cam Montgomery, who was like a four-star running back coming in. And then he kind of gave way to Dunbar, and then Dunbar took over all the way through. I mean, this is really the one of the first times, I think there was only one other time in that whole run where you really didn't have anybody that you knew could handle the job.
Well,
I think that's got to be a huge question.
Well, the other thing, the one that I was thinking of, even Jaquay Wilburn had a good year, and that was like in 2000. So, you know, you've had like you said, a string of guys, just like you talked about, going back. I mean, if you look at the top career rushing yards for North Texas, Patrick Cobbs, Jamario Thomas, Dunbar, Jaquay Wilburn, Kevin Galbraith. I mean, you got to go up to number six before you get somebody that's before year 2000. Or Jaquay was 2000, or 497 was before Jaquay. So you've got a lot of good running backs coming through here. And so this is, to me, this is the year that there's just a big question mark with nobody. You always had, you know, even when Jamario was great, you had somebody waiting. You know, Cobbs was back there. It was always somebody right behind him we were looking forward to. Yeah. And this year we just don't have it.
People have gotten so comfortable with it. There's just this assumption in North Texas. Well, North Texas has always got a good running back. Some guy's just going to show up out of nowhere and be a top level, you know, top of the Sun Belt type running back. And I don't know. I mean, you do have a lot of options. They've talked about, oh, we're going to rotate guys and that's going to be the way to go. And, you know, we've got a lot of guys with a lot of talent. I just look at it and I'm saying, man, you're dependent on a lot of guys that haven't done it before. And that's not a comforting feeling if you're looking at it from North Texas's perspective.
Here's the problem, guys. Okay. It's football season. We're getting ready for 2 days. The freshmen are going to report. You guys are bringing me down. You're really making me feel bad about this season. We got all this good basketball news, and then you go to football, and it's like I want to slip my wrist here. So you got to remember, Coach Mac. Coach Mac will lead us to the promised land. We got 5 wins last year. We beat Indiana. And there's,
I don't look back at that. I mean, how the heck did that happen? With that roster? Think about that. I mean, you know, they had some serious problems. And somehow, I don't know, man. I think that guy needs a pointy hat because, I mean, I don't know how he managed that, especially with some of the injury problems they had last year. And somehow he got it done. It's pretty amazing that they did that. I mean, maybe, I guess you hope he pulls another rabbit out of his hat this year. You know,
well,
you don't have injuries or anything.
And that's my point is I know things look grim. The schedule is not where we really want it to be this year, but, you know, sometimes things happen, you know, especially when you lose a big marquee player like Lance Dunbar. You're like, how are we going to replace this guy? Who's going to, you know, it's a big question mark, like Evan said. And I can tell you from my time and following the program, there's always a couple guys that just kind of come out of nowhere.
Right.
Maybe it's LeJalen Smith.
Delgado?
Maybe it's, you know, I mean, Delgado. Maybe it's, you know, the running back who just sort of walked on and all of a sudden he made a big impact in the spring. So, you know, that's, to me as a fan, that's kind of part of the fun when you don't know who is going to be the ones to make an impact and then you get surprised by who it is.
It is part of the fun, but I think we've just been in the situation so long in North Texas that we're looking for a dark horse. We're looking for something where other schools have proven and they've got it all just stacked out there. We're always looking for something to give us that extra boost because, you know, we've just had a string of crummy luck. And, you know, I just think that's the way it is. But, yeah, you know what? I mean, we really should be excited for basketball. I mean, for football because – you know, there's a lot of stuff going for us, going to Conference USA. We got a lot of stuff going, but it is tough. It is tough. This year, yeah. I'm finding it tough that we don't have a new stadium coming. I mean, it's a great stadium, but we don't have that excitement of a new stadium. We don't have the excitement of this awesome running back that's coming back that everybody's talking about. We don't have that excitement. And
the Conference USA thing is still a year away.
Yeah. Too. I mean, as much as you can get excited for Texas Southern as a home opener, and a lot of people are just not going to do it for him. So it's a tough year to get really, truly excited.
Well, you know, there was always that tradition at North Texas. Remember Scott Hall left and they thought, well, hell, I mean, they'll be able to replace him right off the bat.
Wow.
I mean, how many years did they wander in the wilderness before, you know, Derek showed up and kind of saved everybody's
So
kind of saved the day there. Of course, they did have Giovanni. He played pretty well for a couple of years.
Okay, so if you were drafting the perfect storm here, would you rather have the string of running backs we've had, or would you rather have a string of quarterbacks?
I don't know. I think it depends. Either way, I think it depends on your offense.
Because we've really, I mean, the quarterback situation, you know, the Andrew Smith and what happened, and then Bynes and all these guys, it just, you know, it just really got ugly. So, I mean, you know, we've had a lot of problems and injuries and the whole Dodge situation. I mean, it really has been, and we're hoping for that Thompson can keep healthy, but I think we're just so snake bitten on the quarterback situation.
That's true. I mean, it hasn't, you know, like I'm saying, it hasn't been good. When you look at that, I just think, man, you know, there's so many times that they've said, well, you know, somebody will show up and it'll all work out. I mean, and sometimes it happens, but, you know, a lot of times it doesn't, you know. So you just hope that it's a situation like it's been in North Texas with running backs and somebody comes in and kind of fills the void.
Okay, last question, Brett, and then we'll let you go. What did you predict the record for North Texas to be, and are you standing by that prediction? I want to know if you're standing by it now.
Oh, I picked them to win 4 last year, so I was one off.
I'm talking about this year, pal.
Well, I haven't officially made my call yet. I do that deal where I try to get everybody to go on the blog and kind of put down what they think. I think I kind of wait until a few days. But if I was going to guess now, I'm kind of wavering between – you know, I'm thinking this could be a 5-win team, maybe 6. And I kind of keep leaning back towards 5. I mean, I just don't like the schedule a lot. I mean, if you think about it, you look at it, you've got to go to LSU right off the bat. And usually they carry about 5 guys out in body bags in a game like that. I mean, and granted, you got Texas Southern, you got to go to Kansas State. The whole season it hinges on that Troy game in week 4, and I think Troy's going to be better this year, although they did lose another wide receiver that they thought they were going to have this year. That'll be the whole season. You've got Houston, that's going to be a brutal game. And then you've got Arkansas State and Lafayette at home, but those two teams are going to be really good. And then you've got to finish with 2 on the road in Western Kentucky. You know, that could be a big game for them, depending on how their quarterback situation pans out. So... well, you know, I still think 5 or 6 is probably what I would guess.
I would prefer 6.
Yeah, I would prefer 6, too. I mean, you know, I feel like the thing that could tip the scale is McCartney and just the way the players seem to react and how they can pull stuff out. The play calling, it just seems more ambitious and it works out. It's more fruitful than we've seen in the past where, you know, players just were thought, well, we're going to do it this way, you know, with Dodge, you know, just – you know, there was that, oh, we're excited about this year, but not really. You know, it's going to be the same thing. And we got really, really discouraged. And, you know, last year was just, wow, we didn't think we're going to have anything. And we still managed to pull some stuff together against some pretty decent teams. So I'm excited about the year because it's football time no matter what. And we hope that our guys can do well. But, yeah, a lot of people are looking at it in a different mirror.
Let's keep this in mind. Mac has been here. This will be what his
second
season. I get this feeling sometimes like people think because Mac's a little older that he's been here a long time and he's been work. I mean, give the guy a little time here. It's gonna football's different than basketball. You got 25 players every year, and I mean it takes some time, especially the route he's going. He's not signing JUCOs.
No.
So you're not getting those
old fashioned way.
Yeah, he's doing it with high school freshmen or a freshman out of high school. So I hope that it's not 5 because I want to see progression. I don't expect this team to go to win the Sun Belt or that would be a great
I'd love
surprise.
It. That'd be great going in Conference USA.
And don't forget 2001. I remember RV came out and spoke to us. This isn't our year, guys. We're not going to get there this year. We go out there 0-5. Evan, you remember the bus ride from Monroe.
Oh, I remember the bus ride from Monroe. I remember the bus ride from Monroe, and then the next game against Middle Tennessee, and then it was like, whoa.
Yeah,
I mean, it was – and then it was game on. So anything was possible. And after that, you know, Daryl put out the magic. Is Daryl going to be in the Hall of Fame this year?
Oh, gosh, no.
Should be.
He should
Scott
be.
Hall. Should be, but –
should be in there with Scott Hall.
Yeah, but they won't let Daryl for – that's going to be a while. He won't be a first bat.
Until
you know.
Maybe a few people – personal
but team. Scott Hall – that's one thing.
Some of those bowl era guys need to go in.
Well, but when that, but when the bowl era guys go in, you got to bring Darryl in.
Scott Hall is, I'll agree with Brett on that. If Scott Hall is not in this year, I'm really going to be pissed. I think that's an absolute injustice that that guy did, has not, with all he accomplished when he was here. Boy, what would we be like? I mean, how great would it be to have a Scott Hall again and his leadership and stuff? So,
well,
but anyway.
I mean, the thing, the big excuse is, oh, well, you know, it was because of the great running backs they had in that era. But he still, even if you look at that, I mean, he, 1 year when they went to the bowl game, he threw three touchdown passes to Joel Nwigwe on the road in Murfreesboro and threw for like 250 yards. And he was the, you know, he, and everybody forgets that he, he called the plays at the line.
Yeah, he was.
You know, he was vitally important to all those teams and every. You know, and I think that it's just like the you talk about with those teams. I mean, the further you go into the past, the further he goes into the past. Doesn't his stature and the stature of those teams that won those conference titles doesn't those guys' stature grow?
Well, it should. You know, because
we'll be able to change coaches, and you know, we'll still be able to. To be right at the top of the Sun Belt, we'll still be able to go out and, you know, have wins over teams like Baylor and, you know, go to bowl games and win a bowl game here or there or whatever. You know, and it's never happened again.
No, it's tough.
And the
Sun Belt has gotten better, and it's just gotten tougher for everybody involved. But it just makes it feel that was that much more special and for the people that are here. But, you know, we got a lot of fans now, especially on the board, that don't remember that time. And so, you know, and if he
UNT Storm Chaser,
if he doesn't get in because some wing back from 72 gets in, you know, you gotta start serving those guys up something.
I agree.
Oh, I know. I mean, you look at some of the people that they've put in the last couple, you know, over the years, you know, this guy was a great leader and averaged 7 points a game in 1932, you know, and
you want to dote on the history of the program, because we do have a decent history to the program, but those guys there brought it back to a level that we hadn't seen or nobody had seen in a long time, and you got
to
give them their
Texas if they don't win those, if they don't go
exactly.
To those.
We certainly wouldn't be 2-10 for 3 years in a row. That's for sure.
Well, anyway, no, but sorry. I mean, the donation that was the seed money for the athletic center.
Exactly, that's what got us.
Mattress Mac. I mean, there's a whole generation of students that it was the, you know, when that whole run started, and of course that was before I got here. I mean, how much enthusiasm for the program was there?
There's a lot of fans.
You know, barely had gotten back to the Division I level, and you know, they went to those bowl games. You could run down how strong the Sun Belt was, or how good those teams were, or how many non-conference games they won, or whatever. But I mean, that I think that really started to help. Rick Villarreal and some of the other guys that have really changed the culture at North Texas in terms of athletics and just the student body in general. I think that was a huge ingredient. In
whatever it wasn't.
They won some games and, you know, and got some enthusiasm going for athletics.
If you talk,
I mean, I just wonder where they'd be without them.
If you talk to alums that were around that time, that was their, hey, I remember going to New Orleans for that game, or I remember that. Those were exciting times. And, you know, you string those together, the participation of the alums, you know, the coming back to games and everything. Yeah, the tailgating stuff's great at Apogee right now, but you get a couple of those bowl games with a couple of those road trips. New Orleans is a great place for that. Students loved it. Those guys are now, you know, they got kids and they're coming to games, and they remember that, and you still meet alums that did that, and they're like, wow,
And I thought we had very respectable turnout for those games.
Yeah,
for those.
We did.
I mean, there were a lot of guys I was like, I've never seen him before, you know? I mean,
yeah, when you used to know all the fans at the games, and then all of a sudden these other people started showing up.
By name, last name.
Exactly.
You know.
It was different. So, well, Brett, tell us what's on the schedule for you this summer. We know that, you know, you have the big football spread that it's been well-received every year. What are you guys planning for that this year?
I was just sitting here working on the cover story for it, actually. It'll be another sporting news format type. I think it's going to be 80 pages this year, of course. So, you know, about a quarter of it or a little more will be, well, probably a quarter to a third of it will be North Texas stuff. And then, you know, the area high schools and stuff, because it's an all-encompassing magazine for our coverage region. But I think it'll be similar to what we've done in the past. And that always has been pretty well received readership-wise. And you know, peer wise in the journalism business. We put a lot of time and effort into that thing, you know, for an 80 page completely locally produced thing, and it'll have a lot of North Texas stuff in there that I'm already working on, we're already cranking on. So that's the big project out there. You know, I have been doing some basketball stuff here recently with, you know, recruiting and stuff like that. Summer practice is about ready to wind up. I'm probably going to see if I can get by to see the last practice of the summer workouts and maybe put something together on that. And then, of course, you know, we'll be out there for 2 days. We'll, you know, the practice, I'm sure, will be closed again, but we'll be out there asking, picking up stories and doing things for the paper based on what availability they have after practice and things like that.
Well, cool, Brett. Once again, we appreciate it. Appreciate the time that you spend with us. Brett Vito, the beat writer for North Texas for the Denton Record Chronicle. You can see his work at Brett, tell us that blog again. I mean, you can always access it. And I don't know if you've known this, but on the front of GoMeanGreen.com, there's quick links to all that your recent posts.
Well, actually, now his Twitter feed is showing up on the forum.
Very nice. Do we still have the football players' Twitter feeds? Because that was getting a little dicey.
No, we had to cut those out.
Yeah, that was.
No, I still follow all the players. You don't want to go there on a public.
Yeah, I learned my lesson the hard way. Yeah, we learned the hard way on that one.
Anyway, what's the address? MeanGreen.BeloBlog.com, right?
Yeah. MeanGreenBlog.Velo. Yeah.
MeanGreen.VeloBlog.com. Just Google Brett Vito and
Brett. You just need to go register a domain name and just link it so they automatically sends them to that.
Yeah, I don't know.
The other thing we are going to start this year is I think we're going to our website. We've got now got the capability to break out an individual North Texas page, so that should be coming soon. So we should have like the blog and all the North Texas content will be gathered into one place where it's a little more easier to get to. So we'll be sure to let you guys know when we hopefully we'll be ready to launch that.
Wow,
before the beginning.
Sounds good.
Troy, is that going to have a forum too?
Troy.
No, they have a link here to domaingreen.com. Oh, that's where you talk North Texas.
You missed his humor. Yeah. He called you Troy.
I know.
Just giving you a hard time, Brett. We appreciate it. You know, it's
we're not competing with you.
Stay off the turf.
A place to go read all my stuff that's already there.
No, that's it's worked out great because you know it's worked out great because the fans can find all the information and you know you get a lot of comments on some of your articles there too on y'all's side. So I think it works out great. But hey, we appreciate the time, buddy.
Take care, Brett.
Guys. We'll talk to you later.
All right, man. Right. Bye,
Brett. There he goes.
All right. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Back in the swing of things.
Sports.
So we're every week now, right?
Yeah.
That's bold.
Yeah. And we will get genuine
new
duct
tape for the signs.
We're going to get a whole new studio thing working here. I mean, today you're getting a peek into the rest of Harry's office back there. for those of you that are watching the video of this, but we guys, thanks for joining us. You know, I know with the whole Chick-fil-A thing, a lot of you guys were doing that, and the Olympics are on there. So, you know, there's a lot going on. But, you know, it's that time. People start getting excited for that. The weather will start changing, and you start getting into that whole games on Saturday and Thursday night games and Tuesday night games. It's time for football. So Olympics are over another week, and then it's all about NCAA.
All North Texas, all the time.
That's right. So with that, we'll leave you. Tasty, thanks for being on with us,
My
John.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Harry, and go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.